I guess we will join in singing our opening hymn, hymn number 332, and we'll sing verses 1 through 4 and verse 8.
Savior of the nations, come. Search and sound, make here your home. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth. Not by human flesh and blood, by the Spirit of our God, was the Word of God made flesh, woman's offspring pure and fresh. Here a babe was found with child, yet he remained a virgin mild. In her womb this truth was shown, God was there upon his throne. Then step forth the Lord of all, from his pure and kingly hall, God of God, yet fully man.
For our worship, we'll be following the order of matins found on page 219, if you're following it in the hymnal. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are His hand, the strength of the hills is His also.
Else He is His, for He made it, and His hand formed the
dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship Him.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together.
I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him.
Would you please be seated? The Old Testament reading for this, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, from 1 Kings chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Here ends our first reading. Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Epistle from Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed by the Spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Would you please rise for the reading of the gospel? The Holy Gospel, which is also the text for our meditation today, from the Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" And Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
We will join together now in making profession of our Christian faith as we speak the Apostles' Creed, which is found on the back cover of the hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Would you please be seated? This is the portion of the service that has been set aside for the instruction of the children. I'd like to have them come and join me for the children's message. How are you today? Good. I'm sure glad to hear it. And I'm really glad to see all of you here today. I know you were a little hesitant to come up because you were afraid that I might be putting you to work. What have I got? A broom and a dustpan. Let me ask you, do you ever have to work?
Yes.
Yes? You work a lot. All right. I'm glad to hear. I'm glad to hear that because work is good for you. But let me ask you, do you enjoy working? No. Why not? Well, I bet there's some adults out there, too, would say, no, not always, too. Because sometimes when we have to work, it keeps us from having to do the things that we want to be doing. I'd rather be out playing, but I have to work. What kind of work do you do?
Organizing.
Your team?
Organizing the house.
Organizing the house. That sounds like a big job, but it sounds like a really important job too. You know, sometimes, but you know, there's some really, I said, well, we don't always enjoy working, but you know, there's some really good things about working. Because when we're working, maybe you're doing something like help with the dishes, or maybe just picking up your room, picking up your toys. Those are all important things, And because we could say, well, they help others when we do those things. And, well, and if you're busy sweeping and doing, well, then you're helping to clean the house. And when you're doing all of those things, you know what? That actually gives us exercise as well. So that's good for us. And it's wonderful when we can do work that we enjoy. And one of the things that makes work enjoyable is when we believe that our work really matters, that the things that we're doing are really helping, that the things that we're doing are really important, that maybe even helping to make the world a better place. When you grow up, do you know what you want to do?
I don't.
You don't? Well, you know what? I think there's a lot of people that don't know yet.
Well, I do know a lot of things. My first plan, like, I want to do when I grow up is study Hot Wheels and get all the Hot Wheels on the world and get all three Hot Wheels on the whole entire world. And
okay, maybe.
Oh,
maybe the goal is to get every Hot Wheel in the whole world. Did you hear that? Parents and relatives and friends? Sometimes we don't know. And there's a lot of ones. I remember how many catechism classes that I did when I asked that question. How many of them were going to be professional sports players, sports athletes? I don't know that any of them achieved that, but they've gone on to do other things. But you know what? Maybe more important than the question of what do you want to do is for all of us to ask the question, what does God want me to do with my life? That's all for this morning. Thanks for coming up, and do have something for you. We will continue our worship now as we sing hymn 821, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus.
Alleluia, sing to Jesus. Is the scepter alone. Father,
grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Our text, the gospel lesson from John chapter 6, read a few moments ago. And our Lord Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. This is our text. Actor Tony Randall, who many of you can remember for his famous role as Felix in The Odd Couple, he once had an experience that surely was the inspiration for a credit card commercial. You see, Randall was in a jewelry store in New York City, and the store's owner recognized him and became very excited. And he declared that Randall was his all-time favorite actor. And what a treat it would be if, for his wife, the man said, if she could talk to the Tony Randall. Well, Randall graciously agreed. And so the man called his wife, and Randall had a short, pleasant conversation with her as she gushed on and on about how wonderful he was. And finally, Randall came to the point of his visit to the jewelry store. You see, there was a gold necklace in the window that had caught his eye, and he'd like to buy it. Would the store owner accept a personal check? And the owner hesitated and then asked, do you have any identification? You see, recognition only goes so far. I mean, the store owner was ready to idolize Tony Randall, but he wasn't ready to trust him. You see where this is leading, don't you? Is it possible for someone to come into this house today? Is it somewhat possible for someone to come here today and worship Jesus, but still not trust him with their lives? You see, many people encountered Jesus and saw nothing special. Others were wowed by his miracles, but once Jesus started talking, telling them that the source of his miracles is Jehovah God, the people stop listening and they start arguing. And you know what an argument is, don't you? It's when two people shout conflicting opinions at one another without listening to one another. Pastor John Cramp said that his grandmother had a unique way of ending arguments with her spouse. When grandma got tired of listening to her husband, she would just turn off her hearing aid. As he said, you know, grandmother refused to hear anything that she didn't want to hear. And I know people like that, don't you? You see, the people around Jesus, they don't want to hear that he is God in the flesh. They don't want to hear that he is the true bread of life, that he is the only way to salvation and eternal life. They've turned off their hearing aids at this point because the information is just too radical. And they said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he then say, I came down from heaven? You know, that's a reasonable question. I mean, if a kid from around here claimed to have visited heaven, most of us would laugh in his face. Remember, Jesus wasn't saying that he had just had a vision of heaven. I mean, many respected prophets of old claimed that. But no, Jesus was saying that he had actually come down from heaven. And so he was qualified to speak about it. And that's the part that's difficult to swallow. Then and now. You see, Jesus changes our ideas about God. After they had been with Jesus and heard him teach, then saw him die and on the third day rise from the dead, the disciples could never again think of God in the same way. You see, God wasn't the God that they had been taught about as little children. See, having been with Jesus, God now had a human face for the disciples, and it was Jesus' face. I mean, why? You think about it, why would the God of power and might limit himself with human flesh? How could the awesome and eternal I Am be contained in a weak and decaying body? And the people that Jesus was speaking to, I mean, they lived hard lives of constant physical labor, and they dreamed of being released from the prison of the human body. So why would God dignify the body by taking up residence in it? And the answer to that, of course, is to save us. In order to save us from this body of death, God took on the same limited body. He knows our aches and our pains and our weaknesses. And he's sympathetic to our struggles. And in Jesus, we see just how much God loves us. We see how far God would go in order to communicate that love. And in this way, Jesus changes not only our ideas about God, but Jesus changes our relationship with God. You see, up until now, the people of Israel have been worshiping and serving God. But now, it's time for them to know God. Author Brooke Wilkinson claimed that most Christians fall into one of two categories. There are those who have a relationship with God and those who have a responsibility to God. And those Christians who have a relationship with God look to their faith for the answers to life's questions. And they don't let peer pressure dictate their morality. And they worship sincerely and joyfully. And they find fulfillment in serving others. But those Christians who just have a responsibility to God, they approach their faith as an obligation. They attend church because it's the right thing to do on Sunday. They serve on a committee because they think it's expected of them. And their faith doesn't really make a significant impact on their priorities or their relationships or their lifestyle. But I want you to know that there is joy and fulfillment in having a relationship with God. That we were made to know God. We were made to be filled with God's glory. And anything less than that divine relationship leaves us restless and discontent and empty and anxious. See, Jesus knew that every human heart is filled with the longing for communion with God. He was there. After all, he was there when the human heart was conceived. And none of its complexities surprise him. And he is offering what we really want. And the way to God is through Jesus. For he says, "Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me." Everyone who truly wants to know God will come to Jesus because he is the full revelation of who God is and of what God desires. But to truly know God, God's Spirit must live in us. You see, the people who followed Jesus, oh, they knew a lot about God, but their reaction to Jesus' words shows that they really didn't understand God. I mean, Jesus shocked them when he said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." You see, bread doesn't serve any purpose unless it's consumed. And then it serves to nourish and to give energy to our bodies. You see, it's not enough to know that Jesus is Lord, because the Bible tells us that even Satan acknowledges that truth. But to truly know him, we must take him into our own lives and let his Holy Spirit transform us from the inside out. We need to go beyond knowledge to experience. And his Spirit in us must give our lives new energy and new purpose and new power. And that's the promise of abundant life now and the promise of eternal life later. When philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson's son died, Emerson searched everywhere for comfort. You know, his friends often quoted the Bible to him, but Emerson found no comfort in that. He sensed that his friends were simply just reciting words, but the true presence and power of God was missing from their living. And at one point, he pleaded with some friends. He says, "Tell me what you know. Not what you've heard, not what you've learned, not what others have told you. Tell me what you really know about God." Could you do that if a friend asked you to? Could you tell them out of your own personal experience what you really know about God? Have you really experienced him? You see, the only way to know God is to experience a new birth through Jesus Christ. And it's through God's Spirit living in you that you can know abundant life now and eternal life in the future. The sermon was titled, "Do You Know This Man?" If he came to you in the flesh, would we have to have some identification? Or would we know him so well that we could recognize him anywhere? You see, Jesus changes our ideas about God. And Jesus makes it possible for us, for you and I personally, to have a relationship with God. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, he makes it possible for us to know God in such a way that we could share him with others. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. In place of the Te Deum, at this time in our worship, we will be singing hymn number 900, "Jesus' Name of Wondrous Love."
Jesus, name of wondrous love, name all other names above, unto which must every knee bow in deep humility. Jesus, name decreed of all, to the maiden mother.
his people say. Jesus, name of mercy, mild, give unto the holy child, when the cup of human woe first he tasted here below. Jesus, only name that's given under all the mighty heaven, whereby those to sin enslaved burst their fetters and are saved. Jesus, name of wondrous
gracious and loving God, receive these offerings that we bring this day. Lord, we return just a portion of the rich blessing that you have showered upon us. Lord, make them useful for the work of your church, for the proclamation of your word, that your Spirit might work through that word in the ears of all who hear it, to strengthen the faith of those who believe, and to bring others to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Would you please rise for prayer? In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the whole church on earth, that by the Spirit's power, all the baptized may become imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pastors and for those who assist them, especially those suffering from conflict, burnout, or depression, that our Lord would give them strength and courage through the example of Elijah and the prophets and apostles, as well as comfort them through the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, that we may be given grace to believe that we belong to one another through Christ, and so put away all falsehood and malice, speaking his truth in love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our families and homes, that one generation may tell to the next the wonderful works of God in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nation, that all may live in harmony, neither suffering from want nor fearing danger, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, including in our prayers Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta and Bill, Gary and Bryston, Joe and Kim, Andrew and Steve, Brandy and Maverick, Heather and Gary, Mark and Michael, Ray and Lane, Chelsea and Norma, Justin Ted, the family of David Stow, and all of those others, Lord, who we name before you in our hearts, that they would never doubt that God hears their prayers, and for all others who suffer from any kind of hardship, that the Lord would relieve their pain and provide for them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving, O Lord, we remember in our prayers Frances, who celebrates her birthday this week, and Tony and Kathy as they celebrate their anniversary. Gracious Lord, be with all those celebrating this week, with all those who celebrate anniversaries, that, Lord, you be an ever-present part of their homes, strengthening them in love toward each other and in love toward you. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
And we pray, Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to be the bread of life, together with all the faithful who have gone before us. We give you thanks and praise. Keep us steadfast in the faith, so that when our last hour comes, we may rejoice with them at the marriage feast in his kingdom, which has no end. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We pray the collect for the weak. Gracious Father, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Grant that Christ, the bread of life, may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And we pray, I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me.
Amen.
Amen. And we join in praying the prayer that our Lord Jesus himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Take with you now the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.
Please be seated. For our closing hymn, we will sing hymn number 803, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, praising thee, their Son above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the gloom of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and fountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, everlasting, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fountain head of love divine, joyful we the heaven inherit, joyful we.